Keys.
Om Magyan Timrandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurvitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Visham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Pratilacharam Pangumangate Girim Yatkripadamam Vande Sri Guru Vinutaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chitanyeshwaram Vancha Kalpatrupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Pratiparam Pavadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming today. I see some friends from South Africa. And thank you, Vitanagari Prabhu, our seniors and colleagues and friends and students of the different academies here in Mayapur. I know you have many things to learn for your curriculums, so I appreciate your time for coming here on this short notice. This is the month of December. It says October, November. December, surrender. So, all over the world, devotees are going out and distributing millions of Prabhupada's books as we're speaking right now. And we are here in Mayapur, living the life of Riley or of Lord Chaitanya, having good times. So, in one sense, we're very fortunate. In one sense, we're very unfortunate because we are missing out on some of the action that's going on right now. But if we're seeing what's happening here as a training for what's going to happen in a few days or weeks from now, then it's okay. It's perfectly all right. Even the preachers of Lord Chaitanya, he himself also, they would observe Chaturmasya, where they would stay in the rainy season in one place in order to absorb themselves deeply in hearing and chanting. And because the weather was not very conducive to traveling. And then they again went out to travel. A few days ago, I mentioned this last week, but I see more than half were not here last week. A few days ago, I had lunch with His Holiness Niranjan Swami, and he mentioned to me that if his temple authority would not have sent him on Sankirtan, he would have later on pointed a finger at them and told them that you have cheated me. You have cheated me because you have not given me the chance to do this service and to get this realization. So we mentioned how nowadays most of us are not having a direct authority. I know that sounds scary, but it's the facts of life. So we cannot point the finger at anybody but at ourselves and say, I've cheated myself. I've shortchanged myself because I've not taken the opportunity to engage in the Sankirtan Yajna of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now today, we're going to have a slightly different approach. We're going to make it, by the request of Gitanagar Prabhu, a little more practical, a little more interactive, and a little more down to earth. Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay, good. Just checking. Otherwise, if I get out of line, tell me anytime. So, are you all comfortable? Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer this.
I'm comfortable.
Okay. Are you all comfortable?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you're happy being comfortable, and we're happy that you're happy. That's very good. Because if you're happy, there's a good chance that when people look at you, they will feel your happiness, and they will want to talk to you. Because if you see a grumpy old man, or woman, or even worse, a young grumpy man or woman, you don't want to spend time with them. Because you feel, I don't want to end up like this person. Have you ever had that feeling?
Yes.
You have? Okay. Did you ever meet a member of a different type of faith? They were like born again Christians or something, and they were waving the book at you and screaming and yelling at you. Do you ever have that experience? Those of you who preach in the West have. How? Was it attractive? Not really, right? Did you ever meet a born again Hare Krishna? No, I met plenty. And it's pain. It's a pain because you know what we ought to be doing and you see what we are doing to some extent and it's not working, it's not attractive. So okay, we spoke about being comfortable. So we're all in our little bubble, you know, and it's comfortable in the bubble because, you know, bubbles are comfortable, right?
I like my bubble.
Exactly. Bubbles are cozy. Bubbles are very convenient. Okay? So, there's a problem. What is that problem?
It doesn't last.
Doesn't last. Bubbles tend to burst. And Krishna has his way. He recedes right here in the front. Anybody? Right here in the front. So, bubbles tend to burst. And no matter how nice we arrange our bubble, we may give it, you know, a pink, a saffron, a green, a yellow. Thanks for coming. A purple, a black paint job. It's still a bubble, and eventually it will burst. And what happens then when the bubble bursts? Anybody's got experience with bubbles? Come on, have you ever chew chewing gums? I know none of you chew bubble gums. You know. But we used to chew bubble gums, and if you take a lot of them, you can make a bubble which is pretty much as big as your face, you know. But then, if you blow too hard, at one point it blows up, usually in your face. And then you have to scrape it up your face. So it's not very comfortable, right? So, we have all come to terms with our own sense of identity. By the way, who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Just as a check. Okay, that's about half. Okay, we still got some work to do. So, since you're all very comfortable and it's Friday afternoon, past 4 o'clock, we'd like you all to stand up. We're going to make a little yoga asana, a little exercise, except you. You can just stay put and be comfortable. But everybody else, please stand up. Okay? We're going to do this yoga asana. You've got to remember, Dhruva Maharaj is in Madhuban, Vrindavan, and he's standing on one foot. Okay? Everybody stand on one foot. Can you do that? Come on, you're all yogis. Okay? And he's chanting his mantra. What is his mantra?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Now he has to close his eyes because otherwise there's too many deer running around, okay?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, who managed to do one mantra? Congratulations. Thank you, you can all sit down now. This shows to us that the process of Astanga Yoga is not really working for this day and age. And also to stand on one leg is not such an easy job, right? You got two legs. You also have two ears. So we should listen twice as much as we speak. Now that's easy to say for me, the guy who's got the mic, because I can, you know, I can do it the other way around. No, we're supposed to listen more than we speak. The point is, as we're standing on two legs, the train is running on two tracks. We got Pancharatrikvidhi and we got Bhagavat Marg. Who can tell us what is Pancharatrikvidhi? Do we have some students of the Mayapur Academy? Anybody here from the Deity Worship?
Bhagavatvidhi is here in chanting.
Okay, Bhagavatvidhi is hearing and chanting, which culminates in what happens when you're done your hearing and chanting? You take prasadam, yes. What do you do after you take prasadam? You take your nap. Okay, yes, that's what you all do. But what do you do once you've done your nap? Work with me, people. Come on. What do you do afterwards? You preach, right? What do you think? Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Thank you for your great audience. So, Bhagavadvidhi means preaching, and Pancharatrik. Is deity and temple worship. And this is compared two tracks. Now what happens if you only have one track? Well, if you're smart, you say, then you got a monorail, right? And that works, fine. But, you know, India is not that high tech. So, two tracks of the train, and they should go parallel. If they don't go parallel, what happens?
The
train crashes, exactly. The bubble bursts. You fall out of comfort zone. And it has happened to each and every one of us, and it will happen periodically, as long as we have not aligned our lives. There's more chairs. Please.
Go on that side.
Go on that side. Okay. So, these two should be aligned. What happens if we only engage in preaching? We do nothing else. We only preach. What are some of the dangers that you can foresee that can happen?
You're contaminated by non-devotee association.
Okay.
Yeah, basically that we're not strong enough to resist the mind.
Okay, so what's lacking?
Association.
Purity. Association, purity. Okay, I'm not going to write them all down. We just take them from the floor. What else can happen?
Hearing.
Burnout.
Lack of hearing and chanting, burnout.
No taste.
No taste, fruit of mentality. Maybe we start to see things in a mundane way. We're just out here hustling. We're just trying to convince people. We're just trying to sell a product. All these things can happen, yes?
Pride.
Pride can arise, yes. What happens if we only do Pancharatri Kriti?
There is no compassion.
Lack of compassion. What else?
Bored.
We get bored. What else can happen?
But the senses aren't engaged.
So. We're not fully engaged because it's kind of mechanical. Any others?
Sentimental.
We get too sentimental. We think ourselves to be something that we're actually not.
You're not.
So just as a duty?
You're not channeling. You're soaking up so much, but you're not actually giving it away. You're
Which
not
means
sharing.
Eventually you get overloaded, you can't process, and your system shuts down. Which has happened. We've got experience of that, right? Did you ever eat too much prasadam? Okay, no need to go to the other steps, okay? We've all experimented with this. So, these two have to go hand in hand. Otherwise, we cannot really be functional in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has given us a perfect formula. Now, to strictly follow the easy path is a little difficult. Because in Kali Yuga, we like to innovate. We like to find shortcuts. We like to do things a little differently. Just like, for instance, you have what's called the rock star syndrome. Have you ever heard of rock stars?
Yes.
Were you ever teenagers? No.
Yes.
Okay. You immediately joined the Hare Krishnas. Every regular teenager has got a lot of posters in his or her room, and they've got a lot of rock stars that they dream about. Okay? So, when you come to Krishna consciousness and you think that the goal in life is to become a rock star. So what do I have to do to become a rock star? Help me out here.
Practice.
You have to practice, yes. You have to have the looks and the moves. You have to do what the rock stars do, right? You imitate other people. You see a bubble, you think that's a nice bubble. I want to be like that bubble. And you start behaving like that. But there's a problem. What is that problem? You can't always pull it off. What
it's
else?
It's not your karma.
It's not your karma. It's not you, right? For that person, it might be real. But for you, it's not really real. Because you're just imitating somebody else. And eventually, it will have very negative repercussions. Why are we bringing this example? Because a lot of times, we have a certain idea. We have a certain fixation. And we try to attain it. But in reality, life is something different. So we say Sankirtan is the school of life. When I go out on the street, I get a reality check. You know what is a reality check? Like you get an inventory. You know actually what's there. You can really see where you're at. Now people are going to psychologists, to counselors, to astrologers, to philosophers, to teachers, to psychics, to tell them all the nice things about them. And they pay an awful lot of money. But if you want to get a reality check, just check your phone. See that it's switched off. Just get out on the street. And you will get that for no money. Hardly any effort. All you have to do is you pick up one book and you go on the street and you start talking to people. And what happens is that you will see your own sense of identity, your own sense of insecurity, your own fears projected in that other person. In other words, you see yourself in the other person. That's why it's so hard to have kids nowadays. Because you see your own worst self in your kids. And it's really shocking. Because it's very evident what looks at you. So, to have that reality check is very valuable. And there's two main fears that every person gets in their life. And what are those two main fears? There's a fear of rejection. I won't be accepted. I won't be loved. People will not appreciate me. And the other one is a fear of identity. Now, Sankirtan equips you to deal with these two fears. Now, why do we say so? Because identity, as we spoke before, we build up our bubbles, but when you go out on the street, these bubbles, you know, you can really shed a lot of skin. You can really burst a lot of bubbles because people... I remember I went out on the street and I told people, I'm teaching philosophy, or I'm a monk, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, and people looked at me and they said, no, you're not. I don't believe you. How can you say so, you know? I know you're not, you know, you're just saying it, but you're not. So, it makes you question a little deeper, who am I and what am I doing out here? And that's very helpful, that's very important. Because otherwise we're really chasing mirage, we're really chasing a dream. To really get down to the bottom, what's my identity? And if it's not the eternal servant of Krishna, if it's anything else, if it's some upadhi, some designation, it will burst. It will not last. It cannot last. Why? Because Krishna doesn't allow it. Because Krishna is bhaktavatsal. He is very merciful. He removes all the obstacles between himself and the devotee. So whatever bubble we put between us and Krishna, Krishna will burst it. I was distributing books in Udupi in Karnataka, and there was a pundit with all his regalia and his students, and I approached him and he was carrying many big books, and I gave him a small book of Prabhupada. And all his disciples got very angry and they said, don't you know who this is? This is Panditji. Why you want to, you know, give him a book? He knows everything. It's like preaching to the devotees. Why is it so hard doing these workshops? Because you guys already know everything. And it's very hard to preach to the converted and to the people who know everything. Why is it a little hard to distribute books in Mayapur? What is the first thing people tell you when you want to give them the book?
I already have it,
or I am knowing everything, right? I'm not knowing English, but I'm knowing everything. So, with the devotees, it's the same thing. Have you ever had that little banner coming up in your mind? I already know. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, I heard this story before, I heard this thing before, that thing. And then it blocks you from accessing whatever comes after that. It's like you shut down. There's an internal switch that gets flipped. So, please stay with me. You know, it's only till 6 o'clock. After that, I'll allow you to go out with new ideas for new bubbles, okay? But for now, you have given me a little bit of your precious time, and I thank you for that. So my role as a facilitator, as a teacher here, is to give you a few tools by which you can actually have a joyous and happy experience in Krishna consciousness. Because that's what we're meant to be experiencing here. So, and the fear of rejection. So identity, back to our Brahman in Udupi. Yes, thank you. So he looked at me and he said, what is your qualification? And I was shocked because nobody ever asked me that. And in India that might mean, you know, who's your guru, who's your father, where did you go to school, where are you born, what's your academic qualification. That may mean many things. What's your qualification? So I thought for a while And I thought, whatever I'm going to answer, he's not going to like it, because I don't think he can appreciate what I'm going to tell him. So what do you do when you don't know what to do?
Pray.
Last week we had you take the shalom. This week we have you pray. Okay.
You go for your God.
So you pray. Inside your heart of hearts, you pray. You say, Krishna, I can't do this. I don't know what to say. I'm helpless. I'm out of my depth. I'm out of wits. Please. And that's why Sankirtan is so good. Because you can't fake it. You have to actually depend on Krishna. That little moment of truth where, you know, everything's said and done, and you know, it's called the moment of truth. You just wait, and you're not sure. Are they going to take it? How are they going to react? Are they going to give? What's going to happen? What do you do in that time? Okay, never be silent. Always keep on talking. Fine, that's one thing. But another thing is pray. Pray to Krishna, the Lord in the heart, and He will always reciprocate. And that's the wonderful thing, because you realize how Krishna is the best partner. He's really ready to work with us on Sankirtan. So, this verse came to my mind, and I said, Gopi Bhartabhara Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. And he started smiling, and he took out money, and he gave it to me. And he said, good boy, carry on, you're doing good work. And he walked away with the book. Because Krishna had given me the connection, you know, sometimes that connection doesn't happen. To the verse, you know, just, you're the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis or the servants of Radharani who is serving Krishna. And for him, that was good enough. That was the qualification. But as long as we're thinking, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, I come from here, I come from there, it's not going to happen. Not for a consistent, not for a long period of time. So, that's about identity. Now, of course, we can tell people, we come from here, we're going over there, and we're passing out a few books, and we're just collecting a few donations. And it works. But after a while, you want to go to a deeper level. You want to really go deeper and connect with people on the level of the heart. You don't just want to go through the motions and just tell mundane stuff. And fear of rejection, everybody's afraid that I won't be accepted. People will not like me, you know, for whatever it is, you know. My nose is too big, my ears are too small, you know, my neck is too, whatever, you know, it's, you name it, it doesn't stop. Okay? Fear of rejection. But once we know that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, Krishna loves me and He has accepted me and He's reciprocating with me, then who can reject you? Nobody can reject you. If you know Krishna loves me, then your life is good. And if a person says no, you just say thank you, have a fantastic day. You can't be rejected when you know that you have been accepted by the Supreme Lord. But dealing with rejection is a big thing, and it goes into the two main fears that we're having, which are blocking us from going out. If I'm telling you that in 10 minutes from now, we're going to walk out of this door, go over to Sankirtan Bhavan, pick up some books, and go on the street, how do you feel? Two or three are jai, a few, you know, and a few others are like,
I'm not so my bubble also.
Exactly. I'm not so sure whether that's what I've signed up for. You know. So when Prabhupada was traveling, I just read all his letters, he would just drop secretaries. He would just say, okay, you stay here. I'm going, but you stay. Or he would just send people off. Burijam, you go to Hong Kong. You go to Africa. You go, you know, there's a new country now, Eritrea. Would you like to go to Eritrea?
Only if my routine and distribution.
No, but there's a plane leaving in 2 hours, you know. You can go, we got free ticket for you. No. So, we're really, you know, comfort zone. Prabhupada expected his disciples to surrender. It's pretty shocking. I know, it's a big word. Surrender. Makes you freak out, right? But that's what Krishna asks us in the Bhagavad Gita, you know? I mean, we like the first part, give up all religion and give up all the rules and give up everything, right? Wow, that's great, you know? He's a really cool God, you know? He says, just let it all go. But then he says, surrender unto me. Well, what does that surrender mean? Now we have conditional surrender. We have so many types of surrender, right? like what surrender before or after breakfast, you know, like how much surrender? This much, what is surrender? Anyway, we're going to talk more about this, but we want to keep it practical. So, of course, you have... always the same scenario. What's that? Yeah, that's me. Little Jiva. Okay? And that's my bubble. My comfort zone. Which is really nice, you know? It's blue, it's cozy, it's where I move, where I'm nice. Then I'm sure you've seen this before. This is called stretch zone. And this is called panic zone. Now, there cannot be building up any strength if there is no resistance. Like a Sabitanagar Prabhu walking around for a long time with weights, doing different things to get his muscles, to get his strength back together. Why? Because they were not strong, so he needed resistance. They needed training to build up his muscles. So, if we don't actually endeavor a little bit, we cannot grow. But if we push too hard, we go too far, we get into panic zone, and we may freak out. But once you actually do this in a consistent way, what happens is that the stretch zone will become your new comfort zone. And then the panic zone will become your stretch zone. And you can expand it. It goes exponentially. Because Krishna consciousness is not a static or a stereotype process. At one point, you come to the stage where you get comfortable outside of the comfort zone. If there is something that's actually a challenge, you feel excited by it. You feel like, yes, that's for me. And if it's just same old, the predictable kind of going through the motions, you feel like, nah, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm just telling you, you know, a few ideas here. And I hope you get inspired. Now, do we have somebody here from the Kirtan Academy? Okay. We got two representatives from Kirtan Academy. Thank you for joining us. Just like when I remember the old days when most of the sannyasis were traveling around and holding programs in every town and village, and they were having these big harinams, public harinams. It was like almost, in your time it was a daily thing, later on it became a weekly thing, and now we have reverted to making it more of an internal kind of a activity. But the Hare Krishna movement was started, as you all know, on the street. Where? Up the road, right up here. You just read it. Shriva Sangha. Then Mahaprabhu one day, he took it on the street. And he took everybody out. And they all went out to chant and dance and to spread the holy name, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. To the whole Nadia, to the whole Navadvipa area. And the Panchatattva was there. And lots of people were there, chanting and dancing, and everybody got swept up in that ecstasy of chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada did the same in New York, when he went out to the parks and the devotees went into the street chanting Hare Krishna. So it was really to share the mercy of the Lord in the form of the holy name, to give them this opportunity of chanting Hare Krishna. And these books are written kirtan, so the chanting and the book distribution really goes hand in hand together. So as Bhaktivedanta Swami told me that he went to Beirut, Lebanon, while the civil war was going on, And they were distributing books there and preaching in Beirut, Lebanon. And one time he was there distributing books in an apartment building. They had Arab books and some English books. And as he went out and crossed the street and went to the other street, a bombshell hit the building and boom, blew up the whole building. And it just went, boom, it just collapsed. So, I know it sounds heavy, but it's kind of really exciting because you can see how Krishna is really protecting the devotees and he's really personally guiding them. Why do we like Kirtan Mela? You want to see the magic, right? You want to see the house coming down. You want to see devotees really blissed out. You want to see the magic. But how do we experience the magic in our own lives? Am I just here as a spectator? Am I just pushing remote control buttons and I got to make sure I have a good, you know, a good internet connection? Or am I ready to experience that magic myself? A few weeks ago I was in Vladivostok, just off the coast of Japan, in Far East Russia. And I met a devotee who went on Sankirtan, and they went up to northern Siberia, and they were in a small town. And they came late, and they wanted to check into a hotel, but the lady said, "We don't have any room for you." So she rejected them. But they had so many books, so they just left the books there, and then they went somewhere else, and they found somewhere else accommodation. So they said, "Can we leave the books here?" She said, "Yeah, but you cannot stay here." So they went, and then they got another room, they moved the books. When they came back the next day, the lady said, "Oh, I have a room for you." They said, "No, it's too late, we already found another place." She said, "No, no, no, you have to come back, you have to stay with me." She begged them, she pleaded with them. So the devotees asked why. And she said that this night I had a dream, there was a lion-like person who came, and he was screaming at me, "Why did you not give room to my devotees?" And she was really frightened. She was really scared. So the devotee said, "No, we already have the other room, it's okay." But then she bought the books. So many devotees have told stories how they've been feel that personal guidance and the personal protection of the Lord. That's the magic, you know. If you have one experience like that, that kind of makes your life, doesn't it? It's kind of like, okay, I'm all right for the next 10 years, all right? Okay, talk again in 10 years. One devotee was distributing in a train station, and there was a gang of hooligans, youth, really rough kind of crowd. And he didn't realize who they were, so he went up to them and wanted to give him a book. So they took a book, they started insulting him, they started pushing him, and then the leader of them went up to him and punched him in the face. Just punched him right on his cheek. And he just remembered the Lord, and he just said, turned his head and said, "Why don't you punch me also here, on the other side?" You know, like Jesus said, he should turn the other cheek. And so the guys were all like, they were shocked. And they just ran away. They just started screaming and run away. Because they thought, this guy is, he's crazy, you know, he's totally possessed or something. That same devotee also was distributing books, and there was a man with a young girl, and he was walking by, and the girl looked at the books, but the man didn't want to buy any books. So the girl started crying. But the man just dragged her along, and he walked off. And the girl was crying and crying and crying, and he heard the crying get less and less and less, but then at one point, the crying became more and more and more, and the man came back with the girl. And they bought the book, because she didn't give up crying till she got the book. She was that intensely determined to get the book. So you can see how the people that you're meeting out there on the street, they're not ordinary people. You can experience that magic yourself, and you can see it in others. How others are recognizing, "Oh, this is my Lord." They're not getting maybe that level of realization, but internally there is that feeling, "Oh, here is Krishna. Oh yes, this is nice. Let me take it." Now I know many of you are thinking, "Oh, I've been distributing books for so long, I'm doing this in India, it's difficult, this and that. As we spoke last week, when you're distributing books in India, it's slightly different. You have to use reverse psychology. You go up to people and you tell them, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. This book is not for you.
Not for me?
Not for you, because you already know everything.
Yes,
but
yes.
This book is for one of your best friends.
No.
Very nice. So you see, you got to be ready to deal with some objections. In life in general, in Sankirtan in particular, it will happen in any service. Sankirtan is really the training that will enable you to persist.
Arrivo.
Because every situation in life has got some obstacles. Have you ever noticed? Or is it just me? Have you ever had any obstacles in life?
Yes.
Or is everything just going easy, cruisy, happy city? No, there's some obstacles, right? So Sankirtan is the process which enables us to gain that taste, that faith, that connection, to see Krishna's hand in our lives, how He's moving us, how He's guiding us, giving us the words, giving us the patience, giving us the humor, you know? Prabhupada had so much humor. One time a man said, this knowledge is being given for free. Why are you charging money for it? He accused Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, yes, the knowledge was given free, but where was the knowledge given? The man said, Kurukshetra. Prabhupada said, yes. So Kurukshetra, Delhi, 40 rupee transport charge. The man laughed and he took out 40 rupees and said, okay, I'm defeated. One time Prabhupada said, evolution, what? They're still monkeys. There's no evolution. There's no advancement. They're still monkeys. So you can have your own humor when you deal with people. Like here, when you distribute books in India, in Bengal, and I hope you really try, because it's really a nice experience. I remember I got initiated in 86, and I went out and distributed 50 copies of Bhagavad Darshan, which is the Bengali Back to Godhead magazine. They cost 2 rupees at that time. Now 2 rupees went a whole lot longer than today. 2 rupees was money, okay? So, it was hard work. It took me a couple hours to give out 50 magazines for 2 rupees each. So what do you do? What do you say when you go up to people? You don't talk philosophy. Please, don't talk philosophy. Unless you're teaching a class or you're a PhD or something, but don't talk philosophy on the street. It really turns people off. Okay? So the first thing you say in India is, of course, Hare Krishna. And people smile and they say Hare Krishna back. And just by saying Hare Krishna and smiling at a devotee, they get the adhikar. They get that little bit of punya, that little bit of pious credit, which is required so they can actually take the book. But you have to do it first, okay? So can you do that for me? Smile and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice. You already look much better, you know? Honestly speaking. I was, you know, starting to doubt, but you already look pretty pleasant. Huh? So just do that. And if all I'm doing today is I'm going out on the street and I'm smiling and I'm saying Hare Krishna and I'm, you know, just interacting with people. I'm just out here because I'm happy being a devotee and I'm happy interacting with people. That's pretty good, right? That's okay. That's fair enough. And then a few words in Bengali, okay? Because if you just do the English thing, that may work for some people, but that may not work for all the people. So, what do I ask people? Before we get to this, nah, we'll do it simultaneously. Ki korben?
Ki korben?
Ki korben?
Ki korben?
Ki korben?
Ki korben?
Ki korben? It means, what's up, dog? It means, what's going on? What are you doing? What's happening?
What will do, no?
Huh?
What will do?
What will do, exactly. The main thing is get them involved in a conversation, okay? So you just ask people, what's up? Do you ever ask your friend, what's up? What's going on? Huh? That's how people talk, you know? But if you start, you know, 5,000 know, once upon a time. No. Just ask people, what's going on? What's up? Where are you going? Then they'll tell you. Oh, we're going to the Goshen, or we're going to the temple, or we're doing this, we're doing that. Kotai Chapin! Where are you going? You can ask this stuff anybody. They will stop. They will talk to you. Whoa, the white kid speaks Bengali. Wow. Very nice. Cool. So, then, you can copy this now or later. Don't rush, don't hurry. You leave it up. Kemonache. How are you? They will say bhalo or kubbalo or or something, you know? So you just make back, you know? And then they understand that you understand that they understand. And then that's cool, okay? You got them to laugh. You're already 50% there. You understand? It's not about big talk. You remember what we spoke last week? Prabhupada is a samurai. It's martial arts. You find one weak point and you push. Like Maharaj said in the class the other day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's technique, Prabhupada the same chopping technique. You find one weak point and you hammer it till the person falls over. What's everybody's weak point? Remember what we said about fear? Fear of rejection. Fear of identity. If you appreciate that, if you accept them, if you like them, if you can manage to be their friend just for 30 seconds, that's all it takes, they will take your book. Guaranteed. Money back guaranteed. Can you do that? Can you be people's friends for 30 seconds? Possible, right? Not too hard. Huh? Just be a nice girl. Just be a nice guy, you know, for 30 seconds. After that, you can again go into your bubble, you know, and cynical, depressed, whatever, you know. Multiple personality disorder. You can move from bubble to bubble, you know. Like you get bubbles and bubbles and bubbles. You know, that's okay, but just for 30 seconds. But it means you have to lower your defense. You have to play nice. You have to actually be nice. And you know what? People are nice too. They like that. Especially here. This is not New York, you know. In New York, you can walk up to people, you can insult them, you can speak harsh language. They love it. If you do that here, people look at you and they think, you sick? Something wrong with you? People don't like it. You have to actually be nice. Because people still have some culture. They still have some class. So, what else is there? Next one. Apnar bari kotai. Means, where is your house? Or where do you live? You can ask that anybody. They don't mind. They will tell you. Dubulia. Howrah. And you say, ah, very nice. I know that place. What? You know my place? You know where I'm from? Ooh. You know? You know what happens by now? You're almost family. They can't refuse you. Next thing is you ask him what he ate for lunch, and you're in. Last week, we went out, and in front of Sankirtan Bhavan, I had two guys from Bombay, but they were Bengalis, and I started talking to them, and I just went, boom, 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 and I waited for Jai Sachi to bring me the books. He didn't come, so I just started from the top again, and went through the thing, and I'm like, where are my books, you know? I had no books. I looked foolish. I just started talking to the guys, but there was no books. So after about the second time through, they were kind of getting restless, and they wanted to go, you know. So finally the books came, and they took the set and gave me 300 rupees.
A set of what?
Yeah, just the little gift pack, you know, this set of the ribbons that they sell in the morning, you know, just the 300 rupees set. So the point is, if people actually like you, which means they trust you. You're not a stranger, you're not a threat, you're not somebody to get rid of, you're not somebody to eliminate, but you're actually a nice person. They will do whatever you want them to do. They will eat out of your hand. So, then of course, after I asked them, I was also going to tell them a little something about me. I say, Amar Bari or Amar Mat. If you're married, you say, my house. if you're not married, you say, my mat is, you know, Mayapur, or I'm from this place or that place. Then you say, Gita Prachar, means we're preaching Bhagavad Gita. Gita Prachar. Can you say that? Gita Prachar.
Gita Prachar.
It's not difficult, right? You get that. So we're preaching the message of the Gita. You can say a few more things like snan koro, dan koro, you know. Did you try that?
Yeah, it didn't work though.
Didn't work though. You have to earn it. You have to put in more effort. It really works well. Take a bath and give a donation. It's just something nice. People like riddles. They like rhymes. You know, they like things that's catchy to the ear. Make up your own riddles. Okay? Then, donation. I say dana patra. Dan means donation, and patra means like a donation box, or please give a donation.
Patra means what?
Like a hundi, or, you know, like...
Vessel,
pot. So I show them my bead bag, you know, or whatever you lunch me. In the West, I just take out my wallet, and I show them the money. It's like, okay, everybody gives a donation. And then they get it, you know, they understand. Okay, it's payday, it's time. So, and then, ho dhanyavad, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Khub dhanyavad, ho dhanyavad, so many dhanyavads. Just leave everybody with a good impression. Even if they don't take, even if they already have a book. Just smile at them, say, that's fantastic, that's wonderful, I'm so happy to meet you. And you know what, if you actually mean it, people believe you. Because Krishna is in their heart, and he tells them, yeah, this person is okay. You know, it's alright. You can trust this person. So it's not so difficult. You know, here in India, it's almost too easy to distribute books. But try it out. We'll go out Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 in front of Sankirtan Bhavan. Anybody likes to come. Because words are cheap, you know, we want to see some action. And last week, we had a few people who went out. Who went out last week? Can you tell us a couple of short realizations?
There was a lot of bookstalls.
A lot of bookstalls, a lot of competition. Okay, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
It's a good thing, I think.
In India, you ever wondered, there's a street and everybody sells marble? And you go like, man, why don't you open a marble shop in the street? Right? Isn't it stupid? Because everybody who wants to buy marble goes to this street. So there's a lot of business there. Same thing. I went out, I took 6 Gitas, and everybody had already seen the Gitas because they passed by all the bookstores. But they didn't buy the Gitas. They just looked at them, and then they bought them from me. So it makes your job so much easier. It's really great. The more devotees are out with books, the easier it gets to distribute. What was your realization?
I also had a question that I tried to say something about this.
Yes.
They always speak Bengali and they started telling me so many things and I didn't understand that. So, should I say very nice for the nice every time? Even though I don't understand that.
That's one way of doing it, but you can just switch to English. That also works.
But it helps.
Usually it's just to break the ice. The main point is, you're trying, okay? You're trying. And that's all that counts. People appreciate the effort. You may not be expert, you may not be anything, but you're trying. That's good enough. The kid tried.
But that was the message.
Yeah. Good. What else? Who else went out? Radhika?
Yeah,
I didn't need this. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was not getting anywhere for like about half an hour or so.
Yeah.
But it was ecstatic. I was feeling really blissful, and when I went back home, I felt I had done something. You know, Baba was pleased.
Nice. Thank you.
I only distributed one book. It's a small Chaitanya book. And the guy who bought it, he was so grateful. He touched my feet. He was trying to touch my feet.
Pretty interesting experience.
Adik Bom!
Wait till you go to Bangladesh. You have the whole village who jumps and they jack you. I went out the main gate. Thank you. And There was one guy with an army backpack on. So I asked him, army? And he said, yeah. So I put the book in his hand and he said, you know this guy here, Arjun? You army, he army. Same. You have to make the connection. You see? You gotta make a connection between the person and the book. He took it. You know, it's like, it really doesn't matter. I tell you, it really doesn't matter. Because once you connect with people on the level of the heart, you know, that's the, all language is out the door. When two people are, I know it's a weird example and we shouldn't be using it, I'm still going to use it. When two people are in love and they have what they call a relationship, we call it, you know, they're infatuated with each other, and their two bubbles have kind of merged. Is there a difficulty in communication even if they don't speak the same language? No. Why not? Because both persons' intentions is to keep the relationship going, right? So they'll do anything just to keep the relationship going. In the same way, when we're practicing devotional service, when we're practicing bhakti, Krishna is, in a way, very far away, in a way, he's very close to our heart, but we may not be able to really perceive his greatness. When you read these eloquent praises in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and can you give us a nice verse glorifying Krishna? Come on, you're always ready. You want to think about it? Okay,
yeah,
think for a minute.
Think about it and get that thing real quick. I was just kind of
okay. Hey, I count on you, okay?
Kavim Purana Manasa Sitaram Anor Aniyam Saranusmurendya Savasya Tataram Chitya Rupa Vaditya Varnam Tamasa Karasta. One should meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He who is the oldest, who is the knower of everything, who is the maintainer of everyone, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the controller of everyone, who is inconceivable, who is beyond all material conception, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and being transcendental, he is beyond the darkness of this material
world. Wow. Thank you. You see, that brings you immediately to the transcendental platform. If you're tired of speaking mundane sound vibration, just go up to people, say, Hare Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, we're distributing today Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna, for you. And you just speak Krishna Katha, you just speak about the Lord. It works. Believe me, it works. It's highly purifying. But I found it works even better if you become a master asker. If you learn how to ask the right questions, you can write down in your little notebooks or in your mental notepads, he who asks the questions controls the conversation. The cop asks you, what happened? Where were you last Friday between 7 and 9? What did you do? He who asks the questions controls the conversation. If you learn how to ask the right questions, you just got to lead people along the way. You don't have to be much of a talker. You just ask the right kind of questions. You just take people through your questions, and you get them where you want them to be. Okay?
Hare Krishna?
Yes.
3-4 days, some people came.
Yes.
So I asked them, what is your, I distributed them books and teaching. So I told them, where are you from? They told from Santipur. Okay, on this 24th December, 3 buses are going from here to Santipur.
Yes.
House of Adhaita Prabhu. We have this present for your preaching. And they really started to take some books from there.
Thank you. Right. Just by asking one simple question, you'll get all the success. How does this look like? A question mark. Very intelligent. Yes. You get 2 points for that. How does this look like?
Hook.
A hook. What do you do with a hook?
Catch your fish.
Okay. You can hook things, right? You can hook people. Did you ever have the experience that people people didn't want to stop. They wanted to walk away from you.
Yeah.
You just got to hook him. How do you hook him?
Ask.
By asking them a question. You can't tackle them. You can't jump on them. You know, this is India. What's this girl, you know, jumping after people, you know? It doesn't work like that. But you can always ask people a question. Excuse me, sir, are you from here? Oh, yeah, what do you need? Can I help you? Like, you know, are you new here? Yeah, you know, I'm from Switzerland. I'm kind of lost, you know. And today I'm trying to meet all the nice people from San Francisco. And so far I'm only getting jerks. But I thought, are you one of the nice people of San Francisco? And then even if they say no, they still smile. And you're already halfway there, okay? Because if they smile, you're already halfway there. You get it? Don't shout, don't scream, don't push. Just ask people questions. It works. Okay? Now these are some of the questions you can ask. You can ask many other questions. You come up with your own sets of questions. We said last week, this is the master class, not because I'm the master, but because I've learned from the masters. I'm your servant. I've watched and listened, and I have applied. And then comes what's called realization. You see what works for you, and Krishna guides you. Everybody's unique. You've all got your own unique styles. And you're all uniquely attractive, because that's the way how Krishna has made us. It's pretty good from Krishna, isn't it? It's pretty nice from him. He's invested his own potency in every living entity. So just be yourself. That's authentic. That's attractive. And people will want to get what you have. Because it's convincing. They see you got the goods. Give it to me. You know, people travel far to come to this place. You know why they come to this place? They want to see you. I know it sounds scary, but that's what it is.
The white man in the zoo.
Exactly. Yeah. Hare Krishna. What are you going to say?
Hare Krishna.
I knew it. Very good. And now you ask me a few questions and then I buy your book. Huh? They come here to see you. But if we're in our bubble and we're just reflecting our own image of ourselves, we can't really connect with people. I gave the bubble analogy in Moscow and people didn't really like it. And they didn't ask me to come back there, because it happens sometimes, you know. But the goal of the process is not to be liked by everybody, you know. It's not just infotainment. This is not a talk show, just, okay, you know, you like me, I like you, and everybody goes home happy. The goal of devotional service is what? To please Krishna. And that means we have to speak the truth, even though sometimes it may not be pleasing. One person who had a very nice bubble, and his bubble was quite big. And he told me that I've got 100 followers. And he was a rock star. He was going out doing Harinam and this and that, publishing his book and building up his own little regimen of people who liked his bubble and were kind of floating around his bubble in their own bubbles. And so I told him, Prabhu, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you don't have 100 followers. You don't have anybody. You're here alone. It's just you. No. I have 100 people who follow me. You know, they take me seriously and they're doing what I'm doing. I said, Prabhu, believe me, it's just you. And everybody will get that realization at one point in time when you chant your japa or, you know, your bubble bursts. And you realize that it's really just me and Krishna, and I can't fake it. I have to actually become real here. And that's wonderful, the wonderful feature of Sankirtan, that you get this reality check, plus the bonus of the taste and the faith and the courage to carry on, that you don't just start screaming and running in the other direction. So that's why I like Sankirtan, personally. We gave everybody the homework last week to come up with your 108 reasons why you engage in Sankirtan. Did anybody do it? I know you're not good homework, you know, I'm the same. Can you think of 3 reasons why you want to do this thing? You don't have to say, just, you know, when people ask
you... It makes you feel happy.
It makes you happy. It makes you feel happy. That's good enough, you know. Because if it makes you happy, that's the religion of today, isn't it? If it makes your day, that's fine. If that's your realization, that's okay, that's acceptable. But if it's even something that can help others, that's even better. I was distributing books in Bali, not on the beach, but close to the beach, and I met a young couple, and after they bought two books, I looked at them, and they looked a little too scruffy. You know what scruffy means? They had metal in their face and some tattoos, and you know, Bali is kind of a posh holiday place for middle-aged families. So I asked them, what are you doing here? And they told me, we are on our way to Australia and then we go to Antarctica because we want to stop the Japanese from whaling, from killing the whales. So I thought, wow, they're ready to die, to risk their lives for a bunch of fish in the South Pacific. Now it's pretty cold down there and it's pretty dangerous because you're going with your boat between the whale and the hunter. And you have a little boat, and they got the big boat with the big guns, and that's the big fishy. And you're in between. And you can die any moment. For what? To save a bunch of fish? What am I ready to die for? I know it's a big question, you know, before dinner.
To not fish.
To not fish, yes, exactly. So, but we each, and every one of us has to ask that question personally. Brahmananda was just sent to Pakistan as the war broke out. I spoke to Srila Radhakrishna Maharaj, who was in Pakistan like 5 times, preaching Krishna consciousness, and he told that he was there, and the only people they could actually preach to, the only Hindus that were left, were bungies. They were sweepers. Because everybody who was middle class, high class, or lower class had already moved out and left the country. Only the rock bottom was left. So they went, and they had programs, and they chanted, and the only thing that they had for cooking was dalda. You know, like the cheapest vegetable fat that was there. And they had to take that prasad and, you know, interact with those people who were really on the bottom. But because it was Krishna Kirtan, it was preaching, it was very blissful. So the realization that we get while preaching Krishna consciousness comes when there is a little bit of austerity, a little bit of hardship involved. It's got to hurt a little pinch. Now, how many people can be pujaris? How many people are qualified to go on the altar and worship the Lord? Very few. How many people can lead Guru Puja or lead a spectacular kirtan that will bring the house down? Very few. But everybody
can do books.
Do books, or read a book, acquire some knowledge, or give a little donation. Everybody can do that. It's not really so difficult to do. We'll get to the questions and answers just in about a minute. I just finish a few points here. Bottom line for me, when you want to continue preaching and book distribution, you have to actually like the people. You actually gotta like the people. Because that's what it boils down at the end of the day. You gotta like it. I know it's hard. I know it's sad. Because at one point, you come to that line, you know, where you either say, I don't want to see another face for the rest of eternity, or you say, okay, my brothers and sisters, another day in paradise. I'm going out there, and I'm going to give you this message. You got to actually like the people. That's where it boils down to. So for me, I like Sankirtan because I like the people. It's just something I grew up with. I come to like them. And also the street. The street is kind of honest. For me, it's just. The street always puts things in its perspective. I get a sense of reality. I get some traction. When Prabhupada went to Butler, Pennsylvania, he brought his Bhagavatams and he gave a lecture, and after that he gave 3 books to the professor, Dr. Professor Larson, at Slippery Rocks College in Butler, Pennsylvania, and Sally Agarwal had arranged that lecture. You know how he distributed those books? You know what was his punchline? What was kind of like his main argument? I have brought these books all the way from India for my very special friends. That's pretty good. When people go like, oh, I don't need this, that, you can tell them, hey, I came all the way, you know, from Spain just to meet the nice people from Howrah. And now you look at me like this, you know, how that makes me feel like, you know, just make it personal. I tell you, when it's personal, it will be very difficult for people to reject. It will be very difficult for them, especially here in India. Because there's still some culture, there's still some class, so people don't want to do that. They don't want to reject you. In the West, for the most part, they have no problem with that. But here it's slightly different. So, Prabhupada went to Russia in 1971 for 5 days, and he brought one Bhagavad Gita, and he just talked to one professor and one boy in the hotel room. And now we have more than 100,000 Russian devotees. There is almost 500 Russians living in Mayapur. Did you notice? Who here in the room speaks Russian? You're all very shy. Okay, a few, not too many. But you've noticed there's 500 Russians living here, residents, okay? Chinese are on, they're on the boat, they're coming as we speak, right? More and more. How many Chinese here now?
Not 20, 20 to 30.
20 to 30, but don't worry, they're coming. So, all from one Bhagavad Gita. Now you might say, why should I go to Zimbabwe? Why should I go to, you know, why should I go to, there's a new country there, Eritrea. Why should I go there to distribute books? Well, maybe there will be 100,000 devotees there chanting Hare Krishna 10 years from now. And because you went and you did that sacrifice of risking a little something of your comfort zone, stepping outside, making that little extra effort, so many people got the mercy, so many people got affected. I have people practically every year who come up to me and who say, Prabhu, do you remember me? And I say, no. You gave me that book 8 years ago in San Francisco or in, you know, somewhere in Europe. And I say, oh, that's very nice. You know, I'm really happy that you're a devotee. It's great, but I don't remember. So it's really not up to us. These books will travel, and people will get affected. It's like smart bombs, you know? They find their target. I just had a friend here from Houston who was here for 10 days, and he was so much in the Hare Krishna bubble that he even forgot to take his flight back to Mumbai. Can you imagine? He was so blissed out on Krishna consciousness that he overstayed for 2 days. His flight was 2 days ago. But he only realized today as he stepped into the taxi. And he said, you know what? Who cares? You know? Who cares? It was great. I really liked it. So what we did, we just ate our oats with a bit of fruit every morning and talked about life, you know? So people don't expect you to speak high philosophy, preach to them, you know, the gospel of the truth. We just expect you to be a nice, sensible, sane, I know it sounds too much to ask, you know, person. Prabhupada, every day, his door was open and people could come in and sit down and talk to the man. Every day, for 2 hours. Can you imagine? Prabhupada was managing the movement. He was writing the books at night. He was doing the traveling. He was writing thousands of letters. He was doing it all at the same time, every day for 2 hours. Anybody could step in and talk to him. Now, I know each and every one of us is here today because some sadhu is dropping drops of nectar on our heads. I can see it. I can feel it. I can sense it. That's why we're sitting here. Now, all we're asking you to do is, you please also become a fountain of nectar. And you drop a little bit of nectar to all the people that are in your universe. It might be 5, it might be 50, it might be 50,000. I don't know how big your bubble is. You know? I don't know. I can't see it. I'm comfortable in my bubble. So, but you just spread a little bit of that nectar. Like every morning I go up to Gita Nagari and I tell him, give it to me, okay? Give it to me. I want to hear that verse. Okay? Because I know he has a taste for shlokas and he can deliver them. So, I ask you, whatever you experience in your bhajan, in your kirtan, in your sadhana, that little bit of ecstasy, that little bit of moment of truth, whatever it is, you just convey it to other people. In whichever words that you can convey, that's preaching. Preaching means creating taste. And to do that, you have to have taste yourself. Physicians, heal thyself. So we have to start with ourselves. Book distribution has four very simple laws. Who knows the four laws of book distribution? Number one?
Patience.
Your pen should work. No, sadhana. Strong sadhana. Everything's based on sadhana. That's where the power comes from. Prabhupada said 90% of your advancement comes from chanting Hare Krishna. That's pretty good, 90%. I think that's a passing mark. So, work on your japa. Never be satisfied with your japa. And read the books every day. A chapter a day keeps Maya away. We got what's called JAD. Chapter a day. It's a Chad club. It's got many members of that bubble. Reading a chapter a day. English and Sanskrit, or just English, or just Sanskrit, or everything, or the whole chapter. However you like it. Try it out. Have you ever done it? Have you ever read a full chapter? You recognize the effect it has on our consciousness? You just read the chapter. You chant it out loud. It's like, wow! You ever had that experience? It's amazing, isn't it? So, sadhana must be strong because that's where all the potency comes from. Then number two?
Get books.
Get books. Because you can't distribute books that you don't have. We can make a lot of jokes and have a lot of fun here, but if you're not going to walk over to that Sankirtan Bhavan and pick up a few copies, it's not going to happen. Because you can say Hare Krishna to the people all you like. If you don't have a book in your pocket, you're not going to distribute it. Yeah, you can take them to the book table, but, you know, it's not as powerful as if you just pull it out and you put it in the hand of the person. Okay? Can you do that? Can you all get books?
Yes.
Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Have you seen books here in Mayapur? Are they available?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking rhetorical questions here. Because, you know, it makes you look kind of stupid. You walk around and you got no bullets in your gun. You're just firing blanks. Gotta get books. So whether you have a Gita or a few small books, just get books. Always carry books. When I travel, I always have books with me. Always.
Because there's
always people. I took a flight from Heathrow to Munich, and there was a gentleman behind me who tapped me on the shoulder, and I was reading the Gita, and he said, "I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but is that Hindi or Sanskrit that you're reading?" And so we started talking, and then I gave him a book, and then he gave me £20 for a small book, 2,000 rupees for a small book. But you gotta have the book. When I sit on the flight, usually I'm always in the aisle seat, because then I have somebody on the window or in the middle, and they can't escape. They're there. For the next hour or two, they're there. They're stuck. Okay? So speaking about avoiding you, you know, like, you got them. But once I had a young couple, and they were really absorbing each other. So I thought, oh no, I want to distribute my book, you know, and now I got these people here. How am I going to give them a book? So just as I was thinking like that, one man came walking down the aisle in a business suit, and he looked at his boarding pass, and he looked at the young couple, and he said, "Excuse me, I think you're in my seat." So they were five rows behind. So they had to move out, he sat in, and he bought the book. Instant, immediately. As soon as you step out the door and you think, "Where is my person who will take my book?" That person will come walking around the corner. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's magic, right? You want to experience that magic. Otherwise, life is boring, you know? Breakfast and lunch and dinner. I mean, how much of that can you take? You know? Okay, another 17,264 showers, you know? You're like, finally, kick the bucket. No. You want to get that excitement. You want to feel that magic. Where is that person to whom I can talk about Krishna? So you got to carry the books. Then the next thing is, that's often overlooked, is what? Number three?
Organize.
Nope. The more you show, the more you sell. person's hand. Because as long as the book is in your hand, it will stay there. If the book is in the person's hand, it will stay in the person's hand. Have you ever experimented with this? You just talk and talk and talk, but the person at the end just walks away. But if you actually put the book in their hand, you see, he's thinking, why should I take this Bhagavad Gita, right? That's what's going on in his mind. But the hand wants to grab things. That's what the hands do. You ever been shopping? You ever seen the candies at the cash counter? You think it's just a decoration? They put them there just out of chance? No, because the hands grab things, right? And just mindlessly buy them. Thank you. So, put the book in the person's hand. After you said your one or two nice things to get them to stop, put the book in the hand. If everything we said today you're going to forget, if you remember this one thing, put the book in the person's hand. Can you remember that? It's going to save you a lot of trouble, I'm telling you. Because otherwise at one point when you just talk and talk and talk, then at one point the mind kicks in and they leave. But if they have the book in the hand, they can't leave. Because they have the book in their hand. And all of a sudden what happens is they start turning and turning and opening and looking and all that, and they become attached. The senses become attached to the object. And they're, you know, the mind starts thinking, oh, this is nice, oh yeah, okay, all right, I take it. So put it in the hand. And the fourth one was mentioned, it's organized. You have to be organized. You've got to be a little bit organized. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. So, your homework for this weekend is to take a paper and a pen and to write down what are the three ways that I'm going to contribute to the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya. Because if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're a Sankirtan devotee. Because we have no other devotees. We don't have, you know, kitchen devotees or treasurer devotees, or I'm a university preaching devotee, or I'm a businessman devotee, or I'm a household devotee, or I'm a retired devotee. You know, what does that mean? You get a pension, or, you know, breakfast in bed, or, you know? I mean, what does it mean? If you're chanting Hare Krishna, you are a Sankirtan devotee. So what is our practical plan to actually engage in the Sankirtan mission? I see Gita Nagari Prabhu every day going out and chanting the holy name for hours. And it's wonderful. Because that's the way how he's doing the Sankirtan, how he's spreading the love of his heart for his Lord to the people that are moving around. And it's very endearing. What is my plan? Each and every one of you, just make your little plan. It's not too difficult. And everything starts small. The first step is just to step out the door. You may not be a Gandharva, you may not be a fast mover and a fast talker. I met devotees who were so introverted, they could hardly say their name. I had one devotee with me from Croatia, his name was Mrityunjaya. Now his name is Prem Sankirtan. I took him to the US in the mid-90s, and he just needed a break, he needed a change. Things were not good in Croatia, so he came with me, we went to the US. He liked Los Angeles, and he stayed. And every year when I went by, I visited him and asked him, how is it? Now this boy is a little taller than me, about the same size, very skinny, very shy, very introverted. He's got these big rimmed, round glasses, thin, frail face, very strong bones. He looks kind of heavy. So, hard time for him, you know, doing 5 books, 7 books, 3 books, 8 books, 2 books, 10 books, always like that, for months, for years. I asked him, how is Sankirtan? He said, Prabhu, it's tough, but I like it, and I will continue. And this went on for a few years. And after about 5 or 6 years of that, all of a sudden, boom, his bubble burst, and he was a different person. The lotus actually, you know, started blossoming, and it became very fragrant, very attractive. And he started doing 50, 70, over 100 books. Same guy, but all of a sudden, you know, he evolved. There was a change in personality. If you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, Sankirtan is the process. Sankirtan is the school of life. It's what accelerates the spiritual growth. Because this is the Yuga Dharma. This is what works. So, on an individual and on a collective basis. If you don't like the way your temple is going, your project is going, your country is going, I felt like that. We all felt like that. Ask yourself, what can I do to make a difference? How can I actually contribute to make a difference if I don't like what's going on here? Okay, we need to recruit a new generation of preachers. We need to recruit a new generation of leaders. We need to train those people. We need to give people a sense of community, a sense of real identity, a sense of real belonging, a sense of real satisfaction in Krishna consciousness. To me, that's Sankirtan. And it includes deity worship, it includes Harinam, it includes Prasadam distribution, because it's a teamwork. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link.